Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Why has Triple H been so successful? Why is Triple H running WWE better than Vince McMahon and Bruce Prichard on Monday and Friday night? Long-term booking.
Thank you so very much for joining me right here on Off the Script. This is your Monday Night Raw post show for December 9th, 2024. I am your host, JD from New York, as always, coming to you live from the OTS venue inside my mother's basement. Thank you guys so very much for joining me on your Monday evenings. Very rainy Monday evening here in New York, very foggy as well. Thank you for joining me wherever you may be. Oh, my goodness, man. What a weekend. What a weekend, man. A lot of newsworthy topics to discuss. Some in the world of pro wrestling. Some not in the world of pro wrestling. It's a crazy weekend, man. We got Tony Khan doing Rey Fénix dirty. It's about to air all the dirty laundry in AEW. We will, by the way, be discussing that on a video. I'm probably going to end up recording it after this stream is over, because I know I'll be fucking wired. So I'm going to get that out tomorrow, and then we are going to do that leading into Tuesday Night Titans, episode 76, man. It's going to be a fucking absolutely lit show tomorrow. You don't want to miss Jason and I tomorrow night, man. I'm telling you, it's going to be a fucking banger. There's a lot of big stories. We're going to give you the fucking real pro wrestling discussion that this community needs, man. So it's going to be a banger show. I'm going to get that Rey Fénix video out tomorrow. It should be up, hopefully, by 1 p.m. Eastern, if everything goes according to my plan. And I see a lot of New York Mets fans celebrating a $765 million 15-year contract for Juan Soto, who, by the way, will be strictly a DH for the New York Mets. They paid $765 million for a fucking DH. We need a salary cap. We need some restrictions on these teams. And the Mets got hosed. The Mets got absolutely fucking hosed. I would not give any player alive and breathing 15 years to play with one team without anything happening. There could be injuries. There could be a myriad of reasons why this man will not finish out a 15-year contract, and the Mets will be in a fucking hole that they are going to owe money to Juan Soto. Just a ridiculous contract. A ridiculous contract. Now, I don't know why he didn't want to play with the Yankees. I mean, the much more respected franchise here in New York City. They both, I can't stand them, either one of them. But, I mean, looking at the Yankees' pitiful playoff this year, World Series this year, maybe that's all Juan Soto needed. I don't know, man. Just a hunch. But for the Mets, I don't know, man. You guys may be over the moon about this. I just feel like it's going to be a move that's going to come back and bite you guys in the ass. We'll see how it plays out. Monday Night Raw tonight, how that played out. It wasn't the most exciting show. Yes, it's Bobby Bonilla all over again, Mr. Noob. Yes, you are correct. It is Bobby Bonilla. We will get Solid Monster's take on this tomorrow. Because the news broke last night. I'm sure right now, man, Solid Monster's talking about Juan Soto, man. Guarantee it. We'll poke him tomorrow at 8:30 on Tuesday Night Titans. But Monday night wasn't as exciting as it was last week. Tonight on Raw, it was basically a layup show. They didn't really do much of anything. They had Saturday night's main event on the mind. Everything is set to go. They didn't really need to do much of anything for Saturday night's main event. That's the next big event that WWE has on the calendar. I'm treating this like a PLE. There's no PLEs for WWE in December. I'm treating this as a PLE, man. This is PLE worthy. They built it like a PLE. The matches that we're seeing on this show Saturday are PLE worthy. And that's the way I'm treating it. And we will be live after it's over on Saturday night. Now, the listing is saying that it could go past 2 hours. So we will see. They did add a fifth match tonight. We don't know if they're going to add maybe a sixth match on Friday night SmackDown. We'll see what happens on Friday. But tonight's show basically was a layup show. They gave the ladies 75% of Monday Night Raw and filled in the gaps with all of the other important things that are happening in WWE. Seth Rollins got a promo segment with Sami Zayn tonight. Sami Zayn and Drew McIntyre got into it. They were announced one-on-one. So Saturday night's main event got leveled up with Sami Zayn going one-on-one with Drew McIntyre on Saturday night. The New Day segment was fucking great tonight. Obviously, we got the heel turn last week, which was one of the best heel turns all year in all of pro wrestling with Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston turning heel on Big E. And their explanation was supposed to be tonight, and they got some nuclear, legit fucking hatred from the audience in Wichita, Kansas tonight, man. That was great. So much so, I couldn't even hear what they were saying or what they needed to explain. They got booed out of the building that Xavier Woods threw down the microphone and refused to even cut a promo anymore. They walked away. Now, I'm sure that part was all done by design, but what a segment, man. Unbelievable. I love shit like that, especially when it's genuine and it's riding an emotional high because everybody loves Big E. That was fucking great. We'll go over what they tried to say on Monday night tonight a little bit later. Like I said, Drew McIntyre, he made his return last week. We got who attacked Jey Uso tonight. It wasn't really any major secret. It was Drew McIntyre. He said basically what we talked about last week. He's coming back to get revenge on everybody. He's in Scotland. He's watching Survivor Series. He sees CM Punk teaming with Roman Reigns. He sees Jey Uso back with Roman Reigns. He's like, no, man, this has got to be taken care of. I am going to be the judgment over all of these bad decisions. So obviously he's coming back for some sort of revenge because not only did he have CM Punk on the mind through all of this year, he never let the Roman Reigns situation go at all. And he's coming for what he believes is his. And he's not going to stop until he gets revenge. So he's back. He got on the Saturday night's main event show. He's one-on-one with Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn was out there tonight apologizing to Seth Rollins because he said that he felt like Seth Rollins was the one who attacked Jey Uso. And come to find out, that wasn't the case. So he did some apologizing tonight. And then that's where Drew McIntyre came in and basically showed Sami Zayn what's going to be done because he is definitely one of the culprits for teaming with Roman Reigns. He's not family. He's going to take out everybody that he feels has done him wrong. We got the Women's Intercontinental Championship Tournament continuing tonight. Lyra Valkyria, Ivy Nile, and Zelina Vega. That was your only tournament match tonight. Dakota Kai went one-on-one with Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez went one-on-one with Rhea Ripley tonight. That was the main event. And an anything goes match. And that was basically your Monday Night Raw. That was basically your Monday Night Raw. CM Punk had a great sit-down with, who was it? I forgot her. Mackenzie Mitch? I don't know who the fuck it was. He sat down with somebody. Great interview tonight. And he basically went over exactly why he doesn't hate Seth Rollins, but he can understand why Seth Rollins has a problem with CM Punk. So we'll dive into all that. Again, it wasn't a really important show in the grand scheme of things. We got 3 more weeks till Netflix. I can't wait. It's going to be great. And Monday Night Raw is on the road to Nassau Coliseum on Long Island for Saturday night's main event. Should be a great show. And we will go over the preview and predictions as well tonight. Give you a little rapid fire predictions right here on the Monday Night Raw post. I want to thank you guys as always for joining me. Jackie Redmond, that's who it was. There you go. So many interviewers backstage, man. I don't know who's who. Jackie Redmond sat down with CM Punk. But again, I want to thank you guys for joining me on this Monday night, man. We're going to get right into it. We had a great week last week. And I'm going to continue the momentum.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Of last week, we're going to upload, hopefully, every day this week. We did it last week. I'm going to try and get content out to you as many days as I can consecutively in the month of December as the last month of the year, and I want to close out strong. We are on the cusp of 164,000 subscribers, man. I'd love to hit that before the end of the year. I'm pretty confident we will. So make sure you guys hit that subscribe button down below. If you're new around here, turn on that bell for notifications. Hit that thumbs up. Try for 750 likes. That's the goal. That's the minimum tonight. If you guys are in the chat, hit that thumbs up. Helps me out tremendously. Tells YouTube, hey, man, we're going to put this video in the algorithm. If you guys are watching after the fact, comment section down below. Leave me a comment. Let me know what you thought of Monday Night Raw. Let me know what you thought about Juan Soto's ridiculous deal with the New York Mets. Let me know how excited you are for Saturday night's main event. Comments help out a long way as well. Super chats are open. Get them on in. Excellent way to support what we do here on the podcast. Tonight's show is sponsored by Blue Chew. BlueChew.com. Code JD at checkout. We got some great new sponsors coming up within the new year. It's going to be great. And check out all of the other content that we've uploaded on the channel. We were busy this weekend. Couple of extras for you. And even on the second channel. Busy on the second channel. Everything you need is linked down below in the description. And go check out the homepage for all of your content, man. If you missed anything, there's plenty to get caught up on right here on OTS. And as always, tomorrow night, 8:30, Tuesday Night Titans, episode 76. Solomon Monster and myself will be going all over the news in the world of pro wrestling tomorrow night for what will be a very dynamite explosive episode of Tuesday Night Titans. Monday Night Raw starts off with the man, the world heavyweight champion, Gunther. His match at Saturday night's main event was against Finn Balor one-on-one for the World Heavyweight Championship, and that has now been changed. To who and what? Let's figure it out. Gunther made his ring entrance. Very casually dressed. They showed clips of Finn Balor attacking Gunther last week. And mind you, a lot of people were speculating, oh, Gunther's going to be playing a tweener in this match, or they may actually turn him babyface. No and no. I don't want to live in a world where Gunther is a tweener. I don't want to live in a world where Gunther is a babyface. It doesn't work. You can dead that discussion right now. Gunther should not be a babyface ever. It's ridiculous. So they showed clips of Finn Balor attacking Gunther last week, both of which are heels. He smiled. He said, Balor has made a grave mistake, and he now has his undivided attention. He assured everyone that Saturday night's main event would not end up like Survivor Series did for him. He was interrupted by one half of the tag team champions, Finn Balor, along with Dominic Mysterio, Carlito, and J.D. McNuggets, McDonough. On his way to the ring, he told Gunther he could have given him the title match like he deserved, but he messed with him by giving it to someone who did not deserve it, like Dirty Dom. There's another one of those not-so-subtle clues as to Balor and how he feels about the remaining Judgment Day members. Balor may be booted from Judgment Day. I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know when, but Balor may be booted by the rest of Judgment Day because these little pot shots continue to be happening every single week. And they're mostly aimed at Dominic. J.D. McDonough tried to say something to him and kind of level with him, tone him down a little bit, calm him down. Carlito is just oblivious to everything that's going on. Liv Morgan's picked up on it. So Balor clearly is setting himself on a higher pedestal than the rest of Judgment Day. But like Damian Priest, Balor needs Judgment Day to get where he needs to go. So when is that day going to come when I do believe the rest of the group kicks Finn Balor out of the group? And I do think Dominic Mysterio is going to take over the leadership role of this third iteration that we see of Judgment Day. Dominic did stare at him when he said that. Balor says he's right. That Saturday night's main event will be different than Survivor Series because he, Gunther, is going to lose his title. Gunther told Balor he didn't earn that title match on Saturday. He says it was his audacity in claiming this title match was deserved. He deserved it. And that he was champion, and that got him a title shot. Gunther said 8 years ago, Balor became the first WWE Universal Champion. And back then he looked up to him. He said it faded away over time, not because I chose to, but because you chose to start cutting corners and you chose to start taking shortcuts and you chose to align yourself with the Judgment Day and you chose to hang out with weirdos in the clubhouse. You chose to play second fiddle to Damian Priest. I don't really see any lies here from Gunther. You know, Gunther always tries to cut you down, but when he does, he cuts you down with honesty. He cuts you down with the truth. So not only is he the ring general and he wants to defend the title with honor, wrestle as champion with honor, win with honor, he basically lets you have it with upfront honesty as well. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. Love it. He said now he looks down on him. 8 years ago, you were the best in the world for one night. Gunther said, he is the champion. He will be for years to come. He is the best in the world. He's right now at a level where nobody can touch him. So Carlito suggested they enter the ring at Judgment Day, stepped onto the ring apron because they had enough of what Gunther was saying. They were obviously upset by his harsh truths. Damian Priest music played. He came out. He knocked over Carlito and McDonough, ran through them with a double clothesline in the aisleway. He then beat up Dominic and Finn Balor. Balor entered the ring. Gunther took him out. Gunther then hit Priest with a clothesline and punched away at him. Gunther then goes to the outside, cleared the announce desk, set up a move on Priest, but Balor attacked Gunther first and stopped that. Balor then threw Priest into the ring. He leapt off the ring apron with a coup de grace on Gunther. Priest starts getting back to his feet. He fought back against McDonough, Dominic, and Carlito in the ring. Balor attacked Priest from behind. It was a four-on-one attack. Balor then leapt off the top rope and landed a coup de grace and followed that up with a second and then a third. And Balor kneeled to look closely at Gunther's title belt. He picked it up, and that was the final sell for this Balor versus Gunther match at Saturday night's main event. Now, what happened after this was the more important of the situation. Adam Pearce, after this segment was over, we go to commercial, we come back from commercial, Judgment Day is in the back. Adam Pearce walks up to all of Judgment Day, notably Finn Balor. And he told Balor that he spoke to Gunther. after what just happened in the ring. And as a result of what happened in the ring, the world title match at Saturday night's main event is now a triple threat match. It will no longer be Finn Balor versus Gunther one-on-one for the World Heavyweight Championship. It will now be Finn Balor versus Gunther versus Damian Priest in a triple threat match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship at Saturday night's main event. Balor said, you know what? Fine. I'll tell you what, though. Next week, he and McDonough are going to beat the War Raiders. He's going to beat Gunther and win the World Heavyweight Championship. He's going to beat now both Priest and Gunther to win the World Heavyweight Championship. This is what is coming for Finn Balor. He's not going to win the World Heavyweight Championship and absolutely losing those tag team championships next week against the War Raiders, which Adam Pearce made official. Judgment Day is not allowed at ringside against the War Raiders next week. I like the change to the triple threat match because, let's be honest, I honestly think Balor versus Gunther on Long Island, though both are great professional wrestlers, there's not one guy in that match that fans could be emotionally invested in more so over the other. It was very, very weird that they went about that by putting two heels in a world championship match and you don't really know as a fan who you're supposed to cheer for. So I think we all kind of predicted with that one-on-one match that Damian Priest would probably interject himself into that match because, let's be honest, from what we saw at SummerSlam and what we saw at Survivor Series, Finn Balor interjected himself in both matches with Priest and Gunther. He was the direct effect as to why Damian Priest lost the championship and then Gunther beat Priest at Survivor Series. So I think we all kind of figured out that if it was a one-on-one match with Balor and Gunther, that Priest would probably get in there and cost Balor, and then we'd be on our way to a triple threat match, presumably at Monday Night Raw on January 6th. Netflix debut. I'm glad that they're not going about that this way. I like that Damian Priest is now added because it breaks up the heel versus heel dynamic, number one. Number two, it makes the match a little bit more unpredictable because what I just mentioned was probably the outcome of the match. So I like the fact that they made the change because now it gives fans a reason to cheer for someone in said match instead of having it both be two heels. I'm okay with this decision. Triple threat match, World Heavyweight Championship, Balor, Priest, Gunther, Saturday night's main event should be a very good triple threat match, and I'm looking forward to it. We got the final testament. This is Karrion Kross, AOP, and The Miz. They went and battled the Wyatt Six in a 8-man tag team match. This was Uncle Howdy, Eric Rowan, Dexter Lumis, and Joe Gacy. Now, a lot of people wanted this match to take place at Survivor Series and have it be a standard elimination match. Survivor Series classic elimination match, 4-on-4. They did not do that. They saved it for tonight. It went 9 minutes. In a surprising turn of events, Uncle Howdy was pinned by Karrion Kross. And we saw the return of Paul Ellering. He's now back with the Final Testament. This was the first Wyatt match since September, where they battled the Alpha Academy, or American Made, I should say. Bo Dallas wrestled, obviously, with his Uncle Howdy mask. Everybody was dressed up. Other members wrestled without their masks. Dexter Lumis and Joe Gacy and Eric Rowan, they were all out there. They went right into a commercial break as soon as the match started. So Miz saved Kross from his sister Abigail right at the top. They went to a commercial break. We come back from the commercial break. Final Testament was in control. Joe Gacy was in there. He made a hot tag to Eric Rowan. Rowan had Miz pinned, AOP broke up the cover. Dexter Lumis and Joe Gacy got rid of them with dives. Uncle Howdy tagged in and starts to beat up The Miz until Karrion Kross tagged himself in. Uncle Howdy went for a dive, but Scarlett tripped him up on the outside. Now, Nikki Cross, don't know where she came from. I do genuinely believe she came from underneath the announce table. All of a sudden, Scarlett is laying up against the announce table on the outside. Nikki Cross, who is obviously portraying Sister Abigail, she's got that creepy mask, decked out in white with the white gown. She shows up on the table on her hands and knees, and she's doing some weird motions with her head, and she scares Scarlett. Scarlett backs away, screaming, and she waves to her. Uncle Howdy went for Sister Abigail on Cross because of this distraction. Miz saved him. Cross distracted the referee. Howdy went after Miz, but all of a sudden returning to the Final Testament was Paul Ellering, who threw white powder in Uncle Howdy's face. Cross gave Uncle Howdy his F5, which he calls the final prayer. And Karrion Kross pinned Uncle Howdy 1-2-3 as the Final Testament beat the Wyatt 6. The match itself really didn't do anything for me, man. I'm going to be brutally honest with you. The match itself didn't do much for me. You know, it's... I don't want to sit here and flame the Wyatt 6. I don't. They cut better vignettes and promos than they do anything else. And I'm starting to notice a pattern. They've been off TV for quite some time. They don't really have an active role on the show. I feel like with them, it's now venturing into mostly theatrics and saving them for special moments and really using them sparingly. Why? Like, I get you want them to be a special attraction. But if we don't really see them on a week-to-week, semi-weekly basis, how are we supposed to really care about what these guys are doing and how are we going to get that story across? They seemingly have now found themselves in a disconnect with what The Fiend, with what Bray Wyatt was going through. Everything Bray did off-screen or off the Monday Night Raw show in a vignette or in a promo, everything he did away from the ring, it was great. Everything he did away from the ring, everything he said was great. Everything Uncle Howdy and the Wyatt Six do away from the ring, great. But somehow they get lost in translation. Whatever they do away from the ring does not translate to what they do in the ring. And now we're suffering the same problem. It also doesn't help that A, The Miz is fucking boring. B, AOP, there's no equity built up in AOP. Nobody gives a shit. I'm just being brutally honest. Nobody cares. Nobody cares in AOP. Two big dudes could destroy anybody on the roster. Could be a great tag team if WWE actually want to do something with them. Nobody gives a shit. And Karrion Kross is the one I feel bad for most because I just feel like he's finally starting to just get what he needs to do. You're starting to see Kross finally settle into something that's working for him character-wise, and then it all just goes to shit. It honestly may be best at this point. Does Karrion Kross need the Final Testament? Ask yourself that question. Don't you feel that AOP and The Miz would eventually bring Kross down? Don't you think he'd have a better opportunity to get over on his own just by himself? Like, I understand you wanting to put a group around him because you didn't really know where his character was going. You didn't even know what the fucking character was. Give him a new group. Give him a leadership role. Have him be the guy who speaks for everybody else because he's fucking great at it. But now that he's trying to settle into a nice role for himself and finally has found a nice little niche for himself, I don't even think he needs Final Testament anymore. And to go back to the Wyatts, I'm not feeling it, bro. I'm not feeling it. I don't know what it is, man. Is it just the hokey presentation of the Wyatts? You know the Wyatt family, you know, they had the big entrance. But when they got in the ring, man, you know, that I feel like the Wyatts are still... They're not humanized. Like, we don't hear from Joe Gacy. We don't hear from Eric Rowan. We don't hear from Dexter Lumis. We don't hear from them. All they are characters with fucking goofy masks. How do we get people to actually care about the story that they're telling? Because there is a translation that's lost. They're making the same mistakes that they did with Bray. I don't think anybody really cared about this. I don't. How do we get the Wyatts to feel a little bit more important? How? We have tag team titles. We got a group here that has solid tag team continuity if you want to do that with them. Joe Gacy, Dexter Lumis. Joe Gacy, Eric Rowan. Eric Rowan, Dexter Lumis. Freebird Rule could happen with the Wyatts. Uncle Howdy could go out there and do what he's got to do. Why does he need to remain special? But when Bray was at the height of the Eater of Worlds gimmick, we saw him almost regularly. Why can't we go back to that? Why can't we do that? Uncle Howdy needs to be a recurring character on the show. They got to find a nice balance between what they do with him as a character and what they do with him as human Bo Dallas. Keeping them off television and not having them wrestle since September, it's not a good look. It's not. That's how you get people to tune out very quickly. Something needs to change there. Karrion Kross pinned Uncle Howdy, probably the biggest pin of his entire career in WWE. That is a statement victory. Could have pinned anybody else in that match. They had him pin fucking Bo Dallas as Uncle Howdy. Granted, it was powdered to the face by Paul Ellering, and I'm sure that there will be a rematch, and Uncle Howdy will get his revenge. But that was a statement victory for Karrion Kross. What happens after that, I don't know. But the two things I want you guys to really keep mind of, I feel like there's a translation problem with what the Wyatt Six group is doing vignette-wise and having the story translate to the in-ring action. We need to see more of them. Kross has finally found something that works for him, and I'm starting to think we don't need Final Testament as a group anymore. I think they may end up holding him back because as a group, nobody cares. I have a feeling that fans would actually get behind Karrion Kross if it was just him and Scarlett. Just from what my eyes see watching the show. CM Punk. He sat down with Jackie Redmond. The first thing that Jackie Redmond asked CM Punk is about the favor. What is the favor between Punk and Paul Heyman? Punk said, right now is not the time to talk about that. Paul Heyman's my friend, and that is between us. It is very personal. She shifted to asking about Seth Rollins. Punk says he's not going to shy away from a fight, but when it comes to Seth's hatred of him, he's more confused than anything. I don't hate Seth Rollins, is what CM Punk said. Their history goes back quite a bit, including a 16-year-old Seth Rollins asking him to train him. Punk was asked by Rollins to train him to be a pro wrestler for free. That's the key part of the story that everybody always leaves out, says Punk. He said that entitlement has carried over into the adult Seth Rollins, who wants to be on everybody's top 10 list, being the greatest of all time. He said he remembers when he was on top 10 lists of someone who was going to get fired. He actually said Rollins was on top 10 list of who would get fired from WWE. And then he says, I shielded him. Shielded him from getting fired. He added, if I had to live in my shadow, I would hate me too. He said, everything Seth did, he did better before him. He says, in his absence, Seth did a fantastic job filling the vacuum. But the starter is back. The second string guy has to go sit back down on the bench. He doesn't hate Seth Rollins, but everything that Rollins was trying to do in Punk's absence, Punk basically said, I did that before you, bro. I did it before you, and I did it better. And now the guy who did it better is back. I'm the star guy. You've always been the bench player living in my shadow. And it's time you need to take a seat because the starter is back. I thought this was great. This was a great promo by Punk. Really added some nice context as to why Seth Rollins can't stand CM Punk. And CM Punk going about the nice guy, you know, act. I don't hate Seth Rollins, he says. I don't hate Seth Rollins. So Punk is trying to kill Rollins with some harsh criticisms and some harsh truths. Rollins doesn't want to hear that. I thought this was a very good sit-down segment. I don't know whose side you're going to take, but when Rollins was out there, fans were chanting for CM Punk, CM Punk. I genuinely believe that when these guys get further along into their story, Rollins will be playing the heel and Punk is going to be playing the babyface. Liv Morgan. She went one-on-one against Dakota Kai. This was a match I don't really understand why was happening because there would be no way for Dakota to beat Liv when Liv has a championship match against Io Saturday night at Saturday night's main event where she defends the Women's World Championship. I don't know. We got Dakota last week winning her Intercontinental Championship quarterfinal match, and now we have her wrestling the world champion, and there was no real situation here where she was going to get a victory. Kind of defeats the purpose of keeping Dakota Kai strong. I don't really get that. Liv made her entrance. Dakota was already in the ring. And we get 6 minutes of Dakota Kai and Liv Morgan. We went to commercial break almost 60 seconds into this one. It's like WWE's fucking, all right, match. We got a commercial, 60 seconds. Morgan was in control after we come back from the break. Pure Fusion Garbage Collection. They marched out there. And Liv Morgan tried for three amigos. Dakota Kai countered the last amigo and made a comeback. But she was distracted dealing with Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark at ringside. Now, Shayna was in the match last week with Dakota that Dakota won. Zoe Stark has a match coming up, and I believe that's happening next week. So it looks like it might be Dakota and Zoe in the second round, the semifinal round for the WWE Women's Intercontinental Championship. So that's why they are out there. Morgan comes back with a code breaker, but Dakota countered a missile dropkick into a powerbomb. She was distracted again, this time by Sonya Deville of the Pure Fusion Garbage Collection. She was on the apron. Dakota knocked her off. Referee was fine with all of this. Didn't do much of anything to stop all this outside interference. Kai went for her running boot finish. Morgan avoided it. Hit Oblivion. 1, 2, 3. And that was basically all she wrote. Now, why did this match happen? It's because they wanted to push the final sell for Liv Morgan and Io Sky at Saturday night's main event. Pure Fusion Garbage Collection. They attacked Dakota Kai post-match. Io Sky and Kairi Sane made the save. Sane wiped out Pure Fusion Garbage Collection with a big dive off the top rope, big crossbody block. Sky had her back turned, so Morgan laid her out with Oblivion. Morgan stood tall with the World Heavyweight Championship, and that was the final sell for that women's championship match for Saturday night's main event. Someone answer me this question, man. Who exactly is Pure Fusion Garbage Collection for? Does anybody give a single iota of a fuck about this trio of women? Dakota's in the semifinals. Shayna Baszler was in her match. Dakota advanced. Sonya Deville is not in this tournament. Zoe Stark is having a match next week. In her match is Raquel Rodriguez. I don't think Raquel Rodriguez is advancing to the semifinals. I think Zoe Stark, just based on what we've seen, Sonya's not in the tournament. Shayna already lost. If Zoe loses, I don't really know what we're doing with Pure Fusion Garbage Collection. Doesn't really bode well for them as a group, so I would assume that one of them has to win. And that's why they were out there. Because they were upset that Dakota got past Shayna Baszler, so Zoe's out there, and we're getting a hint of Zoe maybe going to the semifinals against Dakota Kai. I'm sure Rhea Ripley will have something to say about Raquel not advancing. But who is this group for? Dakota will be in the finals, and she will be wrestling Lyra Valkyria for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. But outside that, this was done basically to promote Liv Morgan and Io Sky at Saturday night's main event, and there was nothing about this match that anybody cared about outside of that. And Io got some great reactions. She always does. Drew McIntyre. This was a pre-taped video promo from the Scottish psychopath. McIntyre spoke about the Hell in a Cell match with CM Punk. In the end, I succumbed to massive blood loss. He says he could have been on the next Raw, but instead he had to return to Scotland because his family needed him. He says he kept getting screwed over at the finish line. He asked what if his gut was wrong and people could change. He said he saw Roman Reigns standing side by side with CM Punk alongside Sami Zayn, Jey Uso, and Jimmy Uso. After everything they know, Roman just snaps his fingers and they all put their tails in between their legs and ran right by his side. He said, at least Punk took a bribe. He said the rest sold out for nothing. He says that's when it became clear he had to come back and take out Sami Zayn and Jey Uso. So in this video promo, he revealed that Jey Uso's attacker was indeed him last week. And he showed up at the end of the show in a hood, and he attacked Sami Zayn at the end of his match with Seth Rollins. He said he realized that he can't change the past, but he can change the present, and he will change the future. This was a great promo. Drew McIntyre's fucking phenomenal. And we have something going on right now, ladies and gentlemen, where there is a trade deadline. There is something happening between all the GMs on WWE television. Ava, Adam Pearce, and Nick Aldis. I am making a prediction because I predicted this during the build between Drew McIntyre and CM Punk. I predicted this on the way to Survivor Series. I predicted this 5 or 6 weeks before Survivor Series. I said, if Drew McIntyre's coming back to Monday Night Raw, I don't know how he does not get involved with CM Punk. If they're on the same show, how could they coexist knowing what they went through if they're on the same show? I mentioned it then, I'm going to mention it now. And it looks like we have a little bit of a clearer path as to what Drew McIntyre is going to be doing on WWE television. He clearly has not put his hatred for Roman Reigns behind him. He still feels screwed. All those years ago, Clash of the Castle, that was supposed to be his crowning moment. It did not happen. Roman, he got what was coming to him at WrestleMania. Now he's back and he wants everything that he lost back. Those men that were with him, they gave way to a new Bloodline 2.0, and Solo Sikoa basically took over the family. He's the new tribal chief, quote unquote. McIntyre sees all this happening. Roman's back. Jimmy's back with him. Jay's back with him. Sammy's back with him. He said at least Punk took a bribe. It's the type of guy Punk is. Punk goes into business for himself. I get it. I understand it. But now he's looking at everybody else. These were the same people that were against Roman. Now they're standing side by side with Roman. Drew McIntyre and a move of Drew McIntyre to Friday Night SmackDown is the move they need to make. Drew McIntyre being traded to Friday Night SmackDown is the move to make. His target is Roman Reigns. He basically told you without telling you, I can't change the past. I can't change what they did to me. What's done is done. But I can change the present. Which he tried to do against Sami Zayn. He will do it at Saturday Night's main event. Tried to do it against Jey Uso. And he will change the future. He does not want Roman Reigns to get back what he had. And he will stop Roman Reigns at any chance he gets. So that's what we're doing with Drew McIntyre. Roman Reigns is on the mind there. I love it. Full circle. Great way to bring Drew McIntyre back to television. Or, Justin Toner is correct, it could be Drew versus Cody. It could be Drew versus Cody. If McIntyre took out Sammy, took out Jay, we'll probably target Jimmy and Roman. There's no doubt about it that he's probably going to go after. He's going to go after Cody. And man, if McIntyre is on Friday Night SmackDown, and we get a possible, I'm just thinking out loud here. McIntyre gets traded to Friday Night SmackDown, and we have a core nucleus of Drew McIntyre, Kevin Owens, and Randy Orton, who probably will eventually go heel. And they will probably all be together for all of the same reason. They want to right the injustices that have been done to them. Could you imagine Drew McIntyre, a group, a stable of Drew McIntyre, Kevin Owens, and Randy Orton on Friday Night SmackDown? Can you imagine? We may be looking at a possible early tease of War Games 2025. Just throwing that out there. Hour two. They go backstage to Adam Pearce's office. We saw Nick Aldis on Friday Night SmackDown with the Raw World Champion, Gunther. He was leaving his office and shown shaking Nick Aldis's hand. We got the same thing tonight with Adam Pearce and Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes. Cody was shaking Adam Pearce's hand. He walked out of the office. Kofi and Xavier walked up to Cody Rhodes. Cody told them, you know, I've known you guys since you were kids. You know, we went to school together, he told Xavier Woods. You both should be ashamed of yourselves. Xavier smiled, shook his head, and as Xavier and Kofi walked away, Xavier told Kofi, that's good. That's good coming from that guy. So I don't know what we're doing with Cody and Gunther. I doubt the champions change brands. WWE's put so much into making the champions and the brand champions a thing. They got the World Heavyweight Championships on one brand and they got the WWE Championships on another. I don't think WWE is going to change only one or two champions and then leave everybody else the same. They'd have to change all the champions and put the World Heavyweight Championships on Friday Night SmackDown, and then the WWE Championships on Monday Night Raw, if they want to cohesively and consistently keep all the championships together. I don't know why they would switch one, but not the others. So I think this is just done for presentation and for tease, kind of giving way to, oh man, the champions could be changing brands. I don't think that's going to be the case. Cody's not going to Monday Night Raw, and Gunther is not going to Friday Night SmackDown. Now, Cody will be on Monday Night Raw starting January 6th because it's going to be all hands on deck. And the report was that WWE's not going to be too brand split focused. It's going to be all over the place. But they want to add to the brands because they need to. They can't go into January 6th with the same brands that they have now. It's a new home. It's a new network. It's the biggest Raw of all time. They got to shake things up and add some fresh star power, add some trades, make the rosters feel a little bit different than they are now. I mentioned this analogy on Friday night. You can't move into a new home with the same old, dingy, broken down, ugly furniture. You got to get some new furniture in the new home to spice it up a little bit, to make it look good. That's exactly what WWE is doing. I think this is just done for theatrics. Seth Rollins. He's out there. And obviously, after last week's big pull-apart brawl between him and CM Punk, we got Punk sitting down with Jackie Redmond, went over exactly why he doesn't hate Seth Rollins, but gave you all a reason as to why Rollins hates him. A little context. So obviously, Seth is out there in rebuttal against CM Punk tonight. Tessitore said that he'd have a chance tonight to respond to CM Punk, and that's exactly what he did. We got this graphic that listed all of Seth's accomplishments in WWE because Punk, in the sit-down with Jackie Redmond, basically said, all of Seth's accomplishments, I got the same ones, and I did it before Seth got here. So there was a loud CM Punk chant. His fans usually sing his song. They're all chanting CM Punk. He told his fans, chant his name and let it out. He said, when Punk's days as a wrestler are over, he has a career in politics. He said, Punk's interview earlier was a masterclass in how to spin the truth. You take a little bit of truth and you spin it and you play victim. He said, Punk has been doing this his entire life. He's a fraud. He's a con man. He says he'd give the fans the full truth tonight, because Punk did not. He said, yes, I did go to CM Punk to get trained. He said he looked up to him and idolized CM Punk at age 16. He said Punk helped him get his foot in the door of WWE. He respected Punk, and they were friends. He said if the story ended there, you'd wonder why he hates CM Punk so much. He said the part Punk left out of the story explains why he does not like CM Punk. He said when Punk left WWE 11 years ago, he texted him, he called him, he got no response. I got ghosted by CM Punk. He said that happened to him and everybody else who considered Punk a friend. He said, Punk saw you as evil if you still worked for WWE and didn't quit. He said, for the next 10 years, all Punk did was try and tear down WWE. He took every pot shot he could. He said he walked back into the doors of WWE because he failed at everything else. He burned every single bridge that would lead him to water. And the money was right. More loud CM Punk chants. Seth shook his head and waited it out. Said once upon a time he chanted his name too. And he used to respect CM Punk just like you guys do. He said somewhere along the way he realized he was a fraud and he wanted to be better than him. Said everything Punk did in the ring, he did it twice. Said he main evented WrestleMania, the one thing Punk could not do. And all of a sudden he was interrupted by Sami Zayn. I'll stop there. I'll stop there because I got to give my guy a huge shout out. Oh my goodness. JBZ with a $100 super chat. Oh my goodness. JBZ's got a hot take. Drew gets traded to SmackDown, gets on the same side as Owens going after Cody once he loses to Orton. Cody gets the title back at Rumble. Roman gets the necklace back. Three-way, Roman, Cody, Drew. With Kevin and Randy Orton taking out Cody. Roman by Rock. Drew wins the title. That is quite the deviation away from where we're going, bro, or where we think we're going. I don't know where Drew fits into WrestleMania plans if he gets traded to SmackDown. I really don't. But a match with Drew McIntyre could be something that is on the horizon. I think that would be fucking great. And I would actually put Drew McIntyre over Roman Reigns, to be quite honest with you, if that's the direction that they do go in. Imagine a WrestleMania of Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns, Cody, Rock, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens, John Cena, Logan Paul. I mean, that would be shaping up. Seth Rollins, CM Punk, Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair, Charlotte Flair versus Tiffany Stratton. Solid WrestleMania right there. I don't know what Drew McIntyre, at this point right now, I don't know what Drew McIntyre is doing. I don't know what Randy Orton is doing. I don't. I think a lot of that is going to hinder on what Cody does with the WWE Championship. We may get some of those answers coming out of Saturday night's main event on Saturday night. We'll see if Randy Orton comes back. I think Randy might be there, but, you know, a lot of people are saying, man, Kevin Owens should win the title. I am not against that. I am not against Kevin Owens winning the championship for one particular reason. We'll go over that at the end of the show. I'll give you guys my rapid fire predictions for Saturday night's main event. But Jay Beezy, love it. Thank you guys very much for all the support, man. Let's make this the best December in the history of the podcast, man. It all starts with you guys. Thank you. Now, Seth Rollins, he said a lot of what we all kind of figured he would say. When Punk joined the War Games match, I told you guys exactly why this was going to make sense. Said it then, I'm going to reiterate it now. Rollins was asked twice by Sami Zayn to join War Games. He did not. He said, under no circumstances will I team with Roman Reigns, ever. Good. He stuck to his true self. He stuck to his guns. And he did not deviate. That would have made him the most unbelievable hypocrite in the history of WWE. And basically render everything at WrestleMania fucking a waste of everybody's time. Cody already kind of did that. We understood why Cody did what he did. But if Rollins joined that, he'd basically wipe everything you did at WrestleMania away with Rollins joining Roman for War Games to help him get back some sort of power in WWE. When Punk was announced as the fifth man, we did not get Rollins at all for a week. He was not on that Monday Night Raw show leading to Survivor Series. We were all wondering, well, what is he thinking about? What could he possibly be wondering here now that Punk is back and he's on Roman's team for War Games after he denied Sammy twice? Said, no, I'm not teaming with Roman. No, I'm not. I said it then. The reason that Rollins was going to be mad at Punk is because Punk is going to come off as a better man in every way, comparing himself to Seth Rollins. He's going to take Monday Night Raw. He's going to make it his show. He's going to take everything that Rollins wants, and he's going to go after it. Meanwhile, Rollins is back. He wants the world championship back. He wants the top spot that he had. He was Monday Night Rollins. He was the leader of this show. Punk wants the world title. Punk wants the main event of WrestleMania. Punk wants to be the number one guy on Monday night. He was going to look at Rollins and say, I am better than Rollins. And Rollins is going to have a problem with that. And we got that in context tonight with Punk saying, everything that Rollins did, I did before him. And you know what? Everything he did, I did better. I don't hate Seth Rollins, but I'm the star here. This is my shit. You're the bench player. Now the star is back. Take a seat on the bench. Seth Rollins obviously listens to this. Yes, some of what he says is true. He's leaving out one very important piece. He walked away. He's a fraud. Everything he's telling you, he did not want 11 years ago. He cut the company down in every possible aspect. Yet I was here. I remained. Yet you guys look at him as some sort of hero. And what does that make me? So the story is very easy to follow. And it all makes sense. Punk's inclusion in War Games makes sense. Punk's inclusion in War Games and why Rollins would be upset at that makes sense, which brought us to what we got last week and now tonight. It's very easy to tell. Beautiful stuff. Sammy walked to the ring, staring at Seth the hallway. Fans were singing his song. He got a loud Sammy chant. Seth told Sammy, if he's out there to defend Punk, then we are going to fight again. He says he didn't want to hear it, and I don't have time to deal with it. Sammy said, last week they got into it, and it's bound to happen every now and then, but I was wrong to assume you dropped Jey Uso backstage. He apologized. He apologized to Seth Rollins. Seth says he's glad he brought that up because the thing that's been eating him up inside the past week is that they've known each other for 20 years. Their kids play together. He says he doesn't understand why his name was the first to come to mind as the attacker. Sammy said last week he was talking like the kind of person who points his finger at everyone else for their actions and is the only person with any moral clarity. You sounded less like Seth Rollins and more like Drew McIntyre. We may be seeing a McIntyre-Rollins alignment at some point as well. Seth pointed at Sammy and says he is not Drew. Sammy agreed, I know, you're better than him. But he said Punk brings out the worst in him. Sammy says he got involved last week and maybe he shouldn't have. He said the thing with him and Punk is clearly worse than I ever realized. And from now on, it's his business and you can deal with it however you want. Seth said he appreciated that. Sammy asked if they're good. Seth paused, looked away, and said, yeah, we're good. So they are good for now. Seth says they're good. Seth said he appreciated letting him handle his business with Punk and said it seems Sammy has business to deal with regarding Drew. And Seth left the ring. Sammy talked about Drew and said he plans to end it as soon as possible. Says he's already spoken to Adam Pearce and he'll be facing Drew McIntyre this Saturday at Saturday night's main event. Stacked card now with a fifth match being added on top of everything else that we are getting. This is a low-key banger show. Great shit. All of a sudden, Drew attacked Sammy as he made his way out of the ring and up the aisleway. Referees and agents ran out, pulled Drew off of Sammy. I didn't even think he was there. I thought the vignette was it for him. Drew stood tall, and the damage was done before we get to Saturday night's main event. So McIntyre clearly is a hitman looking for revenge, and he has now targeted Sami Zayn. McIntyre wins on Saturday night. Zelina Vega, Ivy Nile, and Lyra Valkyria. This was a Women's Intercontinental Championship tournament match. So now we're on the other side of the bracket. We got Dakota Kai last week winning her match. She's in the semifinals. Lyra Valkyria, Zelina Vega, and Ivy Nile. Very self-explanatory here. Nothing really crazy to talk about. I think this was predictable from the start. I think once we saw the brackets, we knew exactly what was going on here. Lyra Valkyria, she advances to the semifinals. We go into a commercial break, as always, right at the start of the match. And we pick it up after the commercial break. Lyra and Nile traded counters. Vega nailed them both with a senton. Vega took a page out of Rey Mysterio's playbook and gave Nile a sliding powerbomb to the outside. Later on, Nile simultaneously gave both Zelina and Lyra a German suplex. Vega hit Nile with a code red, but Lyra broke up the cover. Lyra then finds Nile, delivers her Nightwing finish, which is basically a Michinoku driver. 1, 2, 3, and Lyra advances to the semifinals. Very self-explanatory stuff. Went about 8 minutes, four of which was televised, and that was it. Again, like I said at the outset of this stream tonight, there was not a lot of exciting shit as far as the wrestling aspect on this show. It was definitely more of the promos and the vignettes. Absolutely. A lot of what's going on right now, WWE basically had Saturday night's main event already booked and already set. So they took liberty with giving us a little bit of a laxed show tonight, giving the women 75% of Monday Night Raw, but also continuing the building blocks as to what's to come with the most important shit happening on Monday night with Drew McIntyre, Sami Zayn, Jey Uso, CM Punk, Seth Rollins. So that's the stuff that we really care about. New Day. That's the stuff we really care about, but everything right now, nice and slow, man. Triple H is cooking in the kitchen. He doesn't have the burners on too high. He's letting the shit simmer. He's taking his time with everything. But the women got a lot of television time tonight, and as a result, it did not really give way to the most exciting in-ring Monday Night Raw that we've seen all year. Lyra advances. She's in the semifinals. New Day. Speaking of things that we care about, the New Day. Kathy Kelly asked Kofi and Xavier in the back what the intention of publicly berating Big E was. Kofi didn't like the framing of her question. Xavier said, "This is clearly not going to be an unbiased interview." He insisted on the cameraman handing over the camera. He yelled at the cameraman to give him the camera. He grabs the camera. And Kofi is walking ahead of Xavier, and Xavier is filming. Kofi has possession of the camera. He's walking with the camera and Kofi through the backstage area, through the curtain, through Gorilla. And they make their way out into the arena. We got no music. Zero New Day music. Don't know if they're going to get a new theme. I don't know. I would not change their theme. New Day sucks. Has a nice ring to it. Fans were chanting, "New Day sucks." Xavier put the camera down and asked, "What do we do now?" Kofi asked the fans if they really are going to act this way after all the years that they've had of giving them positivity. Are they going to be angry over literally just one day out of 10 years of positivity? Everything got louder. Everything got louder from the fans. The boos got louder. New Day sucks continued to ring out. Xavier tried to talk. He did the Dominic pause because the loudness of the boos, they got louder and louder. We even got a "We want Big E" chant ringing out. This went on for a little bit. Xavier and Kofi, I could not even hear what they were even trying to say because everything got so loud. Xavier and Kofi got so mad that they could not get across what they wanted to say. They dropped the microphone and they left. And then the crowd cheered because they don't want anything to do with Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston. Kofi and Xavier insisted they did not do anything wrong at all. What did we do? We didn't do anything. They blamed Big E for all of their shortcomings. The heel turn was not with a steel chair. It wasn't a surprise attack. It was an emotional heel turn. A mindfuck of a heel turn. Basically taking the man's real-life injury and throwing it back in his face and blaming that injury and Big E for the downfall of the entire group. He saw the downfall happening. He wanted to come back and give him, or give them rather, his help. And they denied him. Now you're coming back after 2 years. Now you want to come back. You knew exactly what we were going through. A neck injury, which did not even require you to get surgery. Now you're back. Austin broke his neck. Kurt Angle broke his neck. Edge broke his neck. Took him 9 years to come back, but still, Edge broke his neck. They all came back. They didn't have nothing to come back to. They didn't have anybody to come back to. You did. We purposely did not change anything with us because we waited for you. And they feel like they did nothing wrong. The fact that they did what they did and continue to utter that they did nothing wrong will be the absolute most nuclear of heat that the New Day will ever see. This segment was short. It was sweet. It was a fourth of what it was last week. But man, oh man, the nuclear heat that both Xavier and Kofi have gotten tonight, man, was fucking beautiful. Fucking beautiful. I always appreciate when pro wrestlers do their job so well and a story comes off so well that you just see and hear the intense hatred that the fans have for them, which is always going to make the turn back to babyface when they get all together on the same page and they have that New Day moment where they get back together. It's going to make that one even more special. The New Day have been one of the most consistent acts on WWE TV for 10 years. I was never the biggest New Day fan. I did not find enjoyment in the cereal and the bootios and the unicorns and the sexual gyrations and the fucking sexual innuendos, the trombone. I appreciated what they are and who they are for sure. Always said when they got serious, they were fucking great. But to me, in 10 years, this is the most interesting the New Day has ever been, and this is the best that the New Day has felt in 10 years. This is just not a fresh coat of paint. This is not just changing, tweaking their characters. This is legitimately the best that the New Day have looked and felt and sounded in 10 years. And like I said last week, and I said it again on Tuesday with Salamanter, it took them balls to do what they did. Yeah, let's turn them heel. But we'll turn them heel on Big E. That's going to be the one thing that you look back on. And everyone watching this program until we come to a resolution here, they will never let these guys live it down because everybody loves Big E. Nothing better than taking a real-life situation and making it into a story because that's where the emotion is. More people should understand that. Main event, Rhea Ripley and Raquel Rodriguez. This was anything goes. This felt incredibly rushed. The bell rang at 9:50 Eastern time. This just felt, and we got a commercial break thrown in between. So it was a commercial break in a 10-minute match. And I just felt like this was incredibly rushed and strapped for time. Rhea Ripley, she defeats Raquel Rodriguez in about 8 minutes. Ripley attacked Rodriguez during her entrance. Match began once they entered the ring. Ripley was all over Raquel, grabbed the table. Rodriguez grabbed her and gave her a fallaway slam onto the announce desk. We go to a final commercial break, 90 seconds into the match. They dropped each other with big boots after the break. Ripley went on offense, drop kicked a chair into Raquel's face. Raquel then dumped Rhea Ripley face first onto the top turnbuckle. I don't know what they were planning, but they set up a chair. Rhea Ripley set up a chair, and she tried to drop Raquel Rodriguez face first on the chair. It looked like a terrible botch. I don't know what it is with the women and botching chair spots. Maybe we should refrain from doing anything steel chair related. Did not look good. So Rhea Ripley, because of this botch, picked up the steel chair, swung the steel chair like Nia should have swung the steel chair at Survivor Series, and smashed Raquel in the back with the steel chair. Liv Morgan ran out. No music. She ran out with the Women's World Championship. Rhea Ripley yanked her into the ring. Raquel Rodriguez booted Ripley and slammed her on some chairs for two. Ripley avoided a Tejana bomb and headbutted Rodriguez. Ripley set it for the Riptide, but Morgan saved Rodriguez again. Ripley fought them off. Morgan gave her oblivion. Io Sky ran out, took Liv Morgan out with a springboard dropkick and a suicide dive, which looked brutal, on the outside. Rodriguez tries to take advantage of all this. It's all legal, by the way. Set up a table. Rhea Ripley drove her shoulder first into a chair that was wedged into the corner of the turnbuckle. Followed that up with a Riptide through the table. 1, 2, 3, and Rhea Ripley beats Raquel Rodriguez. 10 minute street fight. Not the most offensive thing that I've seen. Sold Liv and Rhea, obviously, which is to come. Sold Liv and Io at Saturday night's main event. And with Raquel Rodriguez obviously put through the table and Liv Morgan taken out by Io Sky on the outside, we see the closing scene of the show. The world championship, the women's world championship, is in the center of the ring. Raquel is out. Liv is out. You got Io and Rhea. They both get up at the same time. They both go and pick up the world championship at the same time. And the closing scene is them holding on to both sides of the women's world championship. And that's the way Monday Night Raw goes off the air. So clearly, they're setting something up for the women's world championship. I don't think that Liv loses the championship on Saturday. I do think Rhea and Liv is the match. January 6th, Rhea gets the title back. And I think Rhea is the new women's world champion on the debut episode of Monday Night on Netflix. What that means for Io, I don't know. But that's the way the show went off the air. Saturday night's main event is looking like this. Cody Rhodes versus Kevin Owens for the World Heavyweight Championship, the WWE Championship. Women's United States Championship Tournament Final. We don't know what that is. We'll find out on Friday. I'm going Bayley and Tiffany Stratton. That's what I'm going with. I could see it be Chelsea and Meechan, but I think I'm going Bayley in the final, and I think we get the Women's United States Championship decided on Saturday night's main event. I do think that they give it to Bayley. I feel like it needs to be on a babyface. And then we take someone like Chelsea and have Chelsea beat Bayley for it. I think that would set up Chelsea Green for a little bit more of a successful run. So I'm going with Bayley to win the United States Championship. That's just my opinion. I could see Chelsea and Meechan. I could certainly see that. But with this show, they want the biggest star power that they can on the show. I'm going Bayley and Tiffany Stratton. And I do think when we get a new United States champion in Bayley, I do think that we get Tiffany Stratton finally cashing in that Money in the Bank briefcase. I think we get it at Saturday night's main event. That's what I'm going with. As far as Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens, I can't see them taking the belt off of Cody Rhodes, but I'm going to go Kevin Owens winning the WWE Championship. And the reason why I want it to happen and the reason why I think it's a good thing to happen is because breaking up the monotony and the formulaic way the shows feel and throwing a wrench into the gear and fucking things up a little bit only to reset, reassess, and go back to Cody at Royal Rumble, I think that's the best way to go about it. I think Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes results in Kevin Owens winning the WWE Championship. I do. I think that's a smart play. The only other outcome here is Randy Orton fucking over Kevin Owens, coming back and getting revenge for the pile driver and helping Cody Rhodes win. That sounds boring. We could get that. But I think Kevin Owens winning the championship and then Randy doing that is probably a little bit more effective. Just me. Liv Morgan, Io Sky, I'm going Liv Morgan to retain the Women's World Championship. Sami Zayn, Drew McIntyre, I'm going Drew McIntyre to beat Sami Zayn. And I'm going Gunther over Finn Balor and Damian Priest. I'm going to go Gunther pinning Finn to retain the World Heavyweight Championship. That's it. It's your Monday Night Raw. Again, not that important of a show tonight. I felt like the promo segments and the backstage segments were the strong point of the show tonight. Not much as far as wrestling in the wrestling department. Not exciting at all, with 75% of the show having to be women's matches. But Saturday night's main event is shaping up to be a fucking banger, folks. And I can't wait to see what we got coming on Saturday night. And I will be live with you on Saturday night for Saturday night's main event. It's going to be a great show, great stream. And I can't wait to spend it with you guys right here on OTS. Make sure you guys follow me on social media at JD from NY206. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for notifications. Go check out all the great content on the channel. More coming tomorrow. Got a Rey Fénix video going up tomorrow to really give you my thoughts on what I think is the problem here. And Tuesday Night Titans with Solid Monster, episode 76, tomorrow night. Should be a banger. Tuesday Night Titans. Hit that thumbs up. Right now, we're looking at 663 likes. I'd love if you get that to 750, man. That's the minimum. If you guys want to support the show, there are a couple of ways to do that. Number one, leave me a comment down below in the comment section. Everything helps us out in the algorithm. Thumbs up as well. Super chats are open and memberships are always open. Always accepting new memberships into the VIP club. Tonight we're sponsored by Blue Chew. BlueChew.com, code JD at checkout. They say first impressions are important, guys. Lasting impressions are just as important. That's where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew helps you boost that confidence in the bedroom so you can stay in the game and perform at your very best. Blue Chew is a unique online service that provides the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Comes in a chewable tablet and a fraction of the cost. And the process is very simple, man. You're going to sign up at BlueChew.com. You're going to consult with one of their online medical providers. And once you get approved, you're going to receive your prescription within days. No questions asked. Best part is it's all done online. No visits to the doctor's office. No awkward conversations. No waiting in line at the pharmacy. And the tablets are made in the USA and prepared directly to you. Delivered discreetly to you. Right to your front door. A lot of people ask, does it work? Do you think I need it? Try it for free and see. I promise you, you guys are going to love it and your partner is going to love it as well. Blue Chew wants you to have the confidence to perform at your best. So discover all your options at BlueChew.com. Code JD at checkout. Special deal tonight. Try it for free. $5 is all you're going to have to cover, man, shipping and handling. And when you visit BlueChew.com, you're going to enter that code JD at checkout to get your first month free. And I want to thank them for supporting the podcast right here on Off the Script. Let's get into these super chats. Michael Krause with a $2 super chat. JD and OTS family, hope everyone's weekend went very well. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate you always being here, brother. Ali with a $5 super chat. Hey, JD, with Penta coming into WWE, do you think he'll have his AEW theme or Def Rebel might do a different song for him? I don't know, man. I'm hearing Def Rebel is finished with WWE by the end of the year, so I'm hoping they get some actual musicians to do Penta's theme. And the growing speculation is that Penta will be the mystery opponent for Carmelo Hayes on Friday Night SmackDown. We got Apex Calibre with a 199 times 3. He says, Drew low-key respects Punk for charging for his services. Drew might know that Punk wants to get at Roman Reigns. and may want to have Roman's empire crumble and him be the sole reason for that. That actually may earn Drew's respect. Punk versus Seth. Starting to feel like Punk versus MJF a bit.
A little bit.
And if they are using that as the blueprint, I can't complain. That is AEW's best feud maybe in all of their 5 years. And Apex says, Saturday night's main event is going to kill Collision. It will be. What's Collision? Nobody, and I mean nobody, is going to give a shit about Collision on Saturday night. Andy Suppers, Sidro, yeah, you like that one from Sunday's video, huh? Andy Suppers with 13 months. Our OG tribal chief reads our chat. I try. Michelle Moran with a $5 Super Chat. Seth Punk feud is going to feed families this winter. And I can dig Sammy Drew too. And if you add Jay and KO to Sammy Drew, then you got something hot. Oh, Jesse, we are going to need that Collision Corner, bro. The fans are expecting Collision Corner on Wednesday, man. And it even works out better because Jesse watches Collision, so I don't have to. You know, people got upset. People made a clip out of that on social media and got upset at Jesse for saying that. Yeah, that's probably the best closing line that we could probably come up with for that. I watch Collision, so you don't have to. Thanks, man. You're saving me 2 hours. Who do we got here, man? Let's see. We got Andy Suppers. Thank you, brother. Michelle, thank you. Apex with another $4 in Super Chat. Kofi Woods now booed louder than Dom. Yes. Yes. Still annoying to not let wrestler speak, in my opinion. You know, if it comes off the way that it did tonight, it's definitely genuine. I always love a segment like that, man. I love when a performer gets fucking nuclear heat like that. It really is something to see, man. It means they're doing their job. It means that the story is where it needs to be, and the story hit all the right notes. King Mo Jackson with a $1.99. How you doing, man? OTS for life. In my goon voice, he says, how you doing, man? I'm doing good, King Mo. Thank you for asking, brother. Jay Melvin says, JD, did you watch the Continental Classic on Rampage? Yeah, you mean the Rampage that got a 0.04 in the 18 to 49 demo and 177,000 viewers. Wow, man, the Continental Classic is really lighting the wrestling world on fire, man. Nobody gives a fuck about the Continental Classic. Apex with a $1.99. Could Rhea accidentally cost EO Liv's title? Maybe. Maybe. It might not be as predictable as we think. Adam JD 519 with 9 months. Tony Khan deserves nothing but a lump of coal for Christmas. Hashtag free Ray Phoenix. Keep doing your thing, JD. OTS for life. Thank you, Adam. Apex with a $1.99. NBA and NFL got salary caps. Doing just fine. Yeah, I don't know. We absolutely need a salary cap on baseball, man. It's a fucking circus. It is a circus. Best in the world, Matt with a $5 Super Chat. KO wins at Saturday night's main event, and Cody effectively breaks The Rock's heart after he told him not to again. That sets up a Rock and Cody promo at the Netflix Raw. You may be onto something, bro. Losing the title to KO breaks The Rock's heart because The Rock wants to take it from Cody. I don't know, man. We'll see. Jay Beasy, thank you, brother. $50 super chat. For the WWE side, it was a solid show with the promo work of Punk and Seth, Drew, New Day, and Gunther. Saturday night's main event looks like a decent show. For the AEW, why bother side update on the Aussie show? They have moved to a smaller venue. Way to piss on two fans, TK. Hashtag Free Phoenix. Did you guys see their little press conference today in front of what, 20 people outside of Globe Life Field? What a fucking embarrassment that was, huh? Then you got all the geek journalists in the community glazing Tony Khan, man. Glazing Tony Khan to the fullest. Not one single fucking one of them gave a shit about how Ray Phoenix is feeling. You could see where the priorities lie in the IWC, man. Everybody is a fucking fraud. Only out for themselves, man. Oh, but I got an interview with Swerve. Oh, I got an interview with Lashley. Oh, I got an interview with Tony Khan. Carlos Ortiz with a 499. The Ray Phoenix interview on Ariel Helwani is going to be generational. Man, it's not just Ray. I'm telling you right now, man, it's not just Ray Phoenix. There are more. And they will be coming forward eventually. AEW is a fucking shithole. Sloppy shop isn't even the phrase, man. Robert with the True Crime Podcast, a $5 super chat. I was live at Raw tonight. The boos were legit that loud for Kofi and Xavier. Oh, I heard it, brother. I heard it. Corey Williams with 28 months. I'm excited about WWE Saturday night's main event. Everybody's excited, brother. It's going to be a great show. AJ with 19 months. What's up, JD? Hashtag Free Ray Phoenix and Free Ricky Starks as well. I can't wait till Saturday night's main event. Going to be a banger show. It's going to be a banger show, man. I will be here live covering it all for you guys. No doubt about it. Soundwave 80s with a 499. Have you ever watched Highway to Heaven with Michael Landon? I have. You're making me feel old, bro. Jay Beasy with a $10 super chat. There was also a hint of Balor being kicked from Judgment Day, and that being Liv supportive of Finn's ideas, stating, we only win with Finn, right? Stating we are just your lackeys. Not likely, then bam. Yeah, he's done. He's done. Also, Jay Beasy with a 10. With the Wyatt 6, I don't think it's about wins or losses for them. It's more getting back at Bray's past feuds for now, especially with Bo taking in the spirit of Bray from their last promo. Well, who else is there? Do they eventually target Roman? Do they target the bloodline? Speaking of JD Graham, I got not one single email about my item being shipped yet. Not one. Marcus with a 499. Balor leaves Judgment Day. Can't see anyone as their new leader except Karrion Kross. Start a mania angle with Kross pursuing Judgment Day. Judgment Day being led by Karrion Kross, I could get behind that. Cody Snyder with a $5 super chat. Punk needs to kick Seth's ass. Send him back to Becky's closet crying. By the way, unlike Seth, Punk's more over than Becky was. Cheers, JD. Thank you, brother. Becky was at that Monday Night Raw Netflix get-together. So I'm assuming that we'll see her at the debut on Netflix on January 6th. What she does at WrestleMania, I am still confused about. I don't know where Becky fits into plans unless she goes after Liv Morgan. That was the last time we saw Becky on television, was with Liv Morgan. WrestleMess with a 499. Loving the unpredictability in WWE today. Potential for three title changes at Saturday night's main event. Did you watch Fraxium's match from Deadline? Best tag team in wrestling. I've been saying that for months, bro. I actually tuned into the show late. I got into the show right as... Who did I tune into? It was... I tuned in as soon as Trick and Ridge Holland started making their entrances. I did not go back and watch the tag team match or the men's Iron Survivor. I did catch the rest of the show, though. The women's Iron Survivor was excellent. I thought that was very good. Eddie Melendez with a $10 super chat. Do you think Tony is becoming more like Vince? Yes. I was the first one that raised this comparison. Now everybody's copying me. All the negative press from Punk's injury, backstage incidents, now Ray Phoenix holding Starks, Ray, others hostage, not allowing them to compete in other promotions. Well, that's not true. Ray Phoenix and Ricky Starks are both at House of Glory. Ray Phoenix doing a meet and greet, and Ricky Starks is wrestling twice in January. Justin Toner with a $10 super chat. What NXT call-ups are you expecting with the trade window? Looks like Trick and Roxanne are going to get to drop their titles to Oba and Julia on New Year's Evil and get moved up. Keep being great, JD. I would absolutely call up Roxanne and Trick. I don't think Trick is ready for the main roster, but I think he's going to get a call-up anyway because he's just got natural charisma. I don't think he's found himself as to what he is and who he is in the ring. I don't feel anything emotionally when he wrestles. Oba Femi is going to be the new world champion. I figured that would be at Stand and Deliver, but they may fast track that. I feel like that is where they're going. And they didn't have Oba win the men's Iron Survivor if they weren't planning on putting the belt on him. They are very high on him. Julia will beat Roxanne. Roxanne is going to get called up. I would call up Sol Ruka. I thought she had a great performance in the Iron Survivor. Phil with a 24 months. Man, how about the New Day, huh? Went from being boring to being one of the best parts of the show. Maybe a story does help. Right, Tony? Yeah. Absolutely. Harold Russell with 19 months. And what was Tiffany Stratton doing talking to Adam Pearce? And Big E coming back with Omos and beef with the New Day? No, we don't need Omos on television. We do not need Omos on television. A Watson with 30 months. OTS for life. Hashtag let's fucking go. Cheers, brah. Thank you, A Watson. Appreciate you, brother. Godzilla with a new membership. Thank you, man. Oh, my goodness, man. We got Demeter Bullion is back. Demeter Bullion, Johnny Johnson's Big John, Johnny J., with a $7.99. Ah, Ooga! After New Day did that, Big E, Finna return, and attack R-Truth with barbed wire bat, flaming table, one thumbtack, and throw him off Burj Khalifa. I don't know who that is. Who is Burj Khalifa? And what's with the one thumbtack? New Bendy comic dubs, 27 months, Punk versus TK Star Wars edition. I'm sorry, Tony, for all of it. I'm not your failure, Punk. You didn't kill your AEW run. I did the same way. I'll destroy AEW. Hollywood guy. JD, do you have plans for Christmas? Anything good? No. No, I don't. I am the Grinch during Christmas. Cody Snyder with $2 in Super Chat. Free Ray Phoenix, he says. Yes. Jay Beasy of the 5. No amount of Blue Chew will help AEW get a bigger audience than 10K. Nope. Nope. No, AEW is certainly not performing in the bedroom. John Wicked Spider Hunters, Nate TV with a $10 super chat. WWE vs. AEW stuff is crazier than Hawk to a Girl drama yesterday. Me and Triple H were playing Minecraft, and then I see on my camera a giant AEW military tank blasted my house full of baby bugs. You're a weird dude, Nate. You're a weird fucking dude, bro. As always, man, thank you for being here, bro. And Will Chisholm with a $5 super chat. The NXT Women's higher up is closing AEW Women's division. Oh, my God, man, we got Burj Khalifa is the tallest building in the world, JD, with a $1.99 super chat. Thank you, Demeter. Thank you, Demeter. Appreciate you. Anyway, I'm about to get out of here, man. I'm going to have myself a little midnight snack and then get to recording this Ray Phoenix video. Time is 16 months. Thank you, brother. Thank you for becoming a VIP for 16 months, man. Oh, my goodness. Thank you guys for a great stream, man. We are off and running for another great week of content right here on the podcast. On the channel. Tomorrow it continues. We got Ray Phoenix video going up. Should be a banger. And Solid Monster and I will join you for episode 76 of Tuesday Night Titans, man. Going to be a banger. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for notifications. Make sure you guys go check out all the content on the channel. Plenty of it. To get caught up on, hit that thumbs up. We reached the goal tonight. Thank you guys very much. And hit that subscribe button down below and turn on the bell for notifications. And thanks again to Blue Chew for sponsoring tonight's show right here on Off the Script. Guys, until tomorrow, we got a banger content day coming. And I'll see you right back here with more on Off the Script. And I'll see you live tomorrow night for Tuesday Night Titans episode number 76 with the Sala Monster.
Holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.